On the line, it's Francine Rivers. She's published more than 20 Christian-themed books, and all have become bestsellers. She continues to win fans and acclaim and awards throughout the world. A New York Times best-selling author that's already been translated into nearly 30 different languages. So nations around the world are being changed. Francine, I must be honest, I don't know many women, and women in particular. There must be a good number of men, certainly in the circles in which I move, that don't own a copy of Redeeming Love. Everyone has one in their bookshelf. Is that kind of the book that's the measuring stick for you? Is it the plumb line of what is possible for you to achieve?
Not really. I think my goal is to just follow what Jesus wants me to do. The writing is actually my way of worshiping the Lord and learning about Him. I became a Christian in 1986. I was in my late 30s. So I had a lot of questions and I had a lot of baggage that I was bringing into it. I've really used the writing as a way to draw closer to Him and find, you know, what His perspective is about a lot of things that I've experienced and things that I see in the world and in our area. We live in one of the most liberal areas in the United States. We have maybe 3% of the people in our area, in our county, go to church. So it's like living in Corinth or Ephesus. You know, how do you survive? Yeah, how do you survive? And how do you witness your faith to a culture that really doesn't want to hear? I mean, America is very much turning away from the Lord.
You mentioned 1986 just a few moments ago. I had the opportunity to chat to Terry Blackstock, and also a romance novel background, and then an experience of faith that changed her, and knowing your story as well, Francine, and how things changed for you, as you said, in 1986. And it almost comes through in so many of your books, and in particular here again with The Masterpiece. You've experienced and you share regularly a redemptive story, and talking about where you live and how liberal it is, it's almost as if this is an opportunity for you to show the redemptive power through the love of Christ and the actions of Christ to the world around you.
Well, I think that's really the purpose of Christian fiction. I know Terry, she's a friend, and I think the whole purpose of Christian fiction is to show people through story who Jesus is. And we have the questions, you know, at the end that are to help people either do an individual study or also just get together in a gathering for a book club and talk about these issues. But it's really meant to be a bridge back into the real thing. It's to whet the appetite and get people to really think about their need for God and what Jesus did for them. I worked in the general market for a number of years, and it's very, very competitive. And it's sort of, you know, dog-eat-dog world, you know, trying to climb up higher on the ladder. But with the Christian writers, we get together and we share ideas. I brainstorm with 9 other writers every summer up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And we are encouraging one another because we all kind of have the same call, and that's to bring the gospel to people that don't know who Jesus is. And there are a lot of people who, if you offer them a Bible, they're not going to want to read it. They don't want to hear about Jesus, but they will read a novel, and that novel can be a tool to open the door to discussion about the reality of who God is and why Jesus came to us.
And that's something that shines through in The Masterpiece as well, an amazing redemptive story. And I couldn't help but think, going through its pages, you know, we're all in need of a little grace. And that's exactly what Roman Velasco got, didn't he? In this case, he got himself a tough cookie in this particular grace, one of the characters in the novel. But, you know, he just needed an opportunity to figure out his real identity in Christ. And Francine, when my wife grabbed the book, when she saw that I had it and that I was going to be chatting to you, and we received this quite a while ago, she grabbed it from me and she said, "This is going to be my holiday reading material." And for a few days, I saw nothing but the soles of her feet and the 2 back covers, because that's all she wanted was to read The Masterpiece. And when she told me, every day she'd tell me, "Oh, I must tell you a little bit more about what Roman Velasco and what Grace got up to in this book." And when she said it's The Masterpiece, I couldn't help but think immediately, without even having read it myself at that point, thinking, you know, here's a man who's a character in Roman that's a fantastic artist and rebellion showing through in his love and his actions around graffiti and the like. And it's a great story for our listeners to go and get stuck into. But You know, here he was given the opportunity to experience what it is to find his true identity. Like, he is actually in God's eyes a masterpiece. It's like a double meaning there, and such a character to go and that many of us can identify with. We might not all have been so lost and in foster care and losing a parent and having a parent like he had that was involved in the most awful things. But there's a little bit of all of us there in Roman Velasco.
Yeah, well, and I wasn't sure, you know, I grew up in a very happy home and a very balanced home, so I didn't have any knowledge of what it would be like to go through some of the traumatic experiences that Roman and also Grace go through when they're, you know, like 7 years old or younger. So when I started writing about these people, I talked to a friend of mine who was a family counselor, and she said, well, why don't you come to our group? And it was a group of counselors, professional counselors, and psychologists, and she said, and pitch your story idea. So I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I went and I talked about the story, you know, these characters that were kind of developing in my mind and saying, am I going the right direction? Is this really the way they would think when they're adults because of what happened when they were children? And one man was sitting there and he started to cry, and he said, I deal with people like that every day that have had horrendous childhood experiences and how it impacts their thinking from then on. And especially with abuse, I think it twists the children's viewpoint of who God is, because the person that you're supposed to trust the most, who's supposed to protect you and love you, your parents, when they abuse you, it really just skews your whole view of who God is. And so that's really his journey, is to find his real father, you know, who God is. And he becomes a Christian, but then I think the thing is, so many of us think, well, we become a Christian, everything's going to be fine, and we are saved. And we don't think beyond that, but it's really his journey is to surrender completely and live his life for God, so that eventually he realizes that even his artwork, everything that's been given to him and everything of who he is came from God, was planned into his life. And it's a form of showing the world, you know, who the Lord is.
Francine, I just wanted to mention that although a fictional account, there was something incredibly encouraging when you see how God came through for Grace and for Roman, even practically meeting their needs. And that was so encouraging, you know, just as a Christian person who's trusting God for this and that. And although in a fictional work, you know, it's very much in God's character, and was an incredible encouragement.
Well, I've been more involved in fighting sex trafficking and human trafficking in this area, and I'm connected to an organization called Crossing the Jordan, and I've seen lives literally change because of Jesus. I mean, it's, you know, that is really the hope we have. I mean, a life that can be completely shattered and just destroyed, he can put it all back together again, and he can use the worst of the stuff for his good purpose. When they surrender completely, then they end up coming alongside somebody else and walking them through and bringing them to faith. And it's an incredible thing to see.
It's a beautiful story that reminds us that your past does not dictate your future, that there's hope for all of us, no matter how lost we might seem that we are. And we feel, I've done things, I've experienced things and seen things that are just so bad. There's no redemption for me. There's no hope for me. It's for other people, better people that have made better choices. And this book takes you to some scary places. I mean, there's one scene in the book where there's this, and I don't want to give too much away, you know, it's hard not to give the best bits away, but I mean, a point came where there's kind of the battle for your soul, heaven or hell, you know, in a very vivid sort of experience for Roman. But I mean, to research that kind of a thing, or even to write that, must have been quite something for you.
Well, I remember there seemed to be a lot of books about going to heaven. And I thought, well, there must be experiences the other way, too. And I started doing research on that and found that when people go to a place where it's beautiful and light, they will remember that forever. But if they have gone the other direction, the mind will very quickly block it out, and they'll forget. And I was surprised, you know, when I was reading a book about a doctor who started doing research and how many experiences, you know, different doctors were able to tell him about people that when they were dying, they were not going to heaven. I mean, Jesus talks about hell, but But we tend to not want to go and not think about that. But my question is always, well, why did Jesus come? He didn't come to enhance our lives and to make things, you know, happy and all that. He came to save us, literally, from the fires of hell.
What a pleasure to talk to the lady behind the masterpiece, a name we know so well here in South Africa, Francine. And we thank you so much for a beautiful book, Francine Rivers, called The Masterpiece. Everybody's in need of some grace, and your past does not dictate your future. You'll get lost in the pages, and it'll remind you of the God that rescued you and also inspire you enough, Francine, I think, more than enough, to be able to take the gospel to those in your area of influence, those people that don't know Jesus, and to encourage them in finding their true identity and finding true redemption and forgiveness in Him. Thank you so much.
Hi, South Africa. I'm Francine Rivers, author of The Masterpiece, which is also available in Afrikaans. My books are available at Coombe Books and also other stores countrywide. Is that all right? Okay. I can. Let me get a sip of coffee. Excuse me.